हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे अन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ Seventeenth verse. We did last 17th verse, na? Last class. Sada sarvagato pyatma.
Sada sarvagato pyatma.
Na sarvatra vabhasate.
Na sarvatra vabhasate.
Buddha veva bhaseta.
Buddha veva bhaseta.
Swacheshu pratibimbhavat. The reality, the truth of the universe is, because the universe is, so the truth must be. The truth is. It's like ocean is, we should say, there's two words. You can say, therefore or because. The universe is, the ocean is, you should not say, therefore the water is. The universe, the ocean is, because the water is. The water is, therefore the ocean is. Similarly, reality is, Brahman is, therefore the universe is. Universe is because the reality is, the substance is. The substantive universe is possible, you know, utterable because the substance, the reality is. Your substance is, and that substance is means, is there as the truth of everything. The truth of the universe is there as the truth of every being, the truth of all the beings here, as self of all the beings. Then the same reality, the truth of the universe, as the self of an individual being, is implied by the word Atma. For Atma sada avabhasate, sarvatra avabhasate, it's always, it shines always, it's everywhere. Even though it is always, it is everywhere, it is not available for recognition everywhere, but it's available for recognition where it is available for transaction. Where is available for transaction? Where it is manifest, there alone it is available for transaction. So, where it is available for transaction, where it is manifest, there alone it is available for recognition. Understand? So, nowhere it is available for recognition, because nowhere else it is manifest as the manifest, and nowhere else it is manifest as, no, therefore nowhere else it is available for transaction. Therefore, we should not arrive at the conclusion that consciousness, the Paramatma, is not anywhere. Isn't it? It's not available because it's not transactable anywhere, because it's not manifest. And where it is available for recognition? Only in your own mind. And as what? As the very substance, content of the very I. Therefore, and that also, even though it's available there, and how is it available, Atma, isn't it? Atma is available for recognition only as the manifest consciousness. Isn't it? The Atma, the pure consciousness, can never be, recognized. Okay, recognition of the manifest consciousness is what? No. In fact, claiming of the original consciousness. And recognition of manifest consciousness is possible only when you're able to distinguish the manifest consciousness from the inseparable manifesting medium, the mind. Is it clear? Mind is the manifesting medium, and there is manifestation of consciousness, and the manifestation of consciousness is recognizable, and it is available for recognition, and it is distinguishable from the manifesting medium. When you are able to discern the manifestation from the manifesting medium, how you can distinguish distinguish the reflection of your face from the reflecting medium, the mirror, even though reflection and the reflecting medium mirror are inseparable. So also you can distinguish the reflection of consciousness from the reflecting medium, the mirror. Then you understand the reflection of consciousness is nothing but the original consciousness. And you don't need to recognize, you don't need to objectify the original consciousness. It's not possible. You claim the original consciousness being there as the very self. Understand what I'm saying? I'm just talking to you because I already said last class. I'll tell you this again. If you ask me how this pure consciousness is there as the manifest consciousness, the pure consciousness is a synonym of the word pure knowledge. So pure knowledge and pure consciousness are one and the same. And in fact, we don't need to say there is something called pure consciousness, something called manifest or reflective consciousness. I told you even last class, when we say there is light, light is one substance. There is no such thing called reflected light, and there is no such a thing called pure light. Light is just the light. And light is ever pure. But still, the light, in the presence of the opaque object, the light gets the qualification, reflected as the reflected light. Light becomes qualified as the reflected light. In the absence of opaque object, light becomes what? Light is said to be the pure light. Pure light means what? Same light. It gets the qualification, pure light and reflected light, in keeping with the presence and absence of the opaque object. In the same way, the pure consciousness gets this name as a manifest knowledge. Pure knowledge. Knowledge is ever pure. Consciousness is ever pure, but still gets the name as reflected consciousness or manifest consciousness or pure consciousness in keeping with the presence and absence of the mind, the vrittis. Got it? In the presence of the mind, consciousness is known as what? Manifest consciousness. In the absence of the mind, mind is called what? Pure consciousness. Don't say unmanifest. Pure consciousness. So that means pure consciousness is always. Always. And what comes and goes is the manifesting medium. So, even in this morning I was doing this Hastamalaka's verse, he says, you know, see, in the presence of the mirror, there is reflection of your original face is with its reflection. Okay? In the presence of the reflecting medium, the mirror. When the mirror, the reflecting medium is taken away, The original face continues to be there without its reflection. What happens to the original face? Original face is always there. Whether the reflection of the original face is there or not, the original face is. In the absence of the reflecting medium, the reflection goes. In the presence of reflecting medium, the reflection is. Whether the reflection is there or not, the original face is always there. With its reflection, without its reflection. In the same way, you know, in the presence of the mind, pure consciousness is with its reflection, with its manifestation. In the absence of the mind, pure consciousness is without its with its reflection, with its manifestation. Is it clear? So, and where is it manifest? I told you, consciousness is manifest in all the, it's present in, it pervades, it's there as the very truth of everything. In non-living things also, consciousness is not manifest. Consciousness is there as pure consciousness in all the non-living things. In all the living beings, consciousness is manifest as knowledge. But the level of manifestation is what now is different. In different life forms, that is why what is the difference between a non-living thing and a living being? In a non-living thing, consciousness is, but it is not manifest. Not being manifest, it is not available for transaction. Not being available for transaction, it is not recognizable. Not being recognizable, what happens? It is considered is as good as non-existent in all the non-living things. As good as, but is not non-existent, because the existence of anything is because of consciousness. You clear? But the same consciousness is that in all the living beings, consciousness, the reality is manifest as knowledge. Manifest as knowledge. But the manifest knowledge also is understandable. Knowledge, consciousness being manifest as knowledge, or pure knowledge being manifest, available as manifest, available for understanding as manifest knowledge. Is it? The pure consciousness manifest as available for understanding as manifest knowledge. But it is not perceptible through eyes. You cannot see the knowledge being manifest through physical eyes, but you can understand the knowledge being manifest there. Pure consciousness alone is manifest as knowledge in all the living beings. How do we know? Pure consciousness is manifest as knowledge in all the living beings. I'm coming to the mind later on. Okay? It's a previous class lesson. I want you to understand how the reality is nothing but pure consciousness or the pure knowledge. And the pure knowledge is there as the manifest knowledge. You can never see, recognize pure consciousness. You can understand. You can recognize what? The manifest consciousness or manifest knowledge. And where is consciousness manifest? Wherever there is manifesting, proper, appropriate manifesting medium is, there you can see the manifestation of consciousness as the knowledge. And that manifesting medium must be what? The subtle form. The gross form cannot be the manifesting medium. Only the subtle form is the manifesting medium. Therefore, in all the life forms, whether it is an immobile living being, such as plants, herbs, creepers, etc., or whether it's a mobile being such as right from the unicellular organism such as paramecium, amoeba or any virus or bug onwards, any huge living being, including the human shariram, take the human body also. In all of them, we see the life. Life is what? The non-living thing, there's no life. Living beings, life is. Life being there itself is what? Is manifestation of knowledge. Life being there is possible. Life is possible because of the manifestation of knowledge. The source of life is manifest knowledge. The manifest knowledge, the source of manifestation of knowledge is what? Pure knowledge. Without the pure knowledge, there cannot be manifest knowledge. Without the manifest knowledge, there cannot be life. Because life means you see the life, you understand the life being in a living being. How? Because you see the growth, you see the expansion, you see the reproduction, you see various functions happening. And all those functions, a plant, a tiny little the seed cannot grow into a tiny little seedling and sapling with the sprouts and growing slowly into a big plant. Any living creature, from a tiniest form, it grows into a bigger organism, isn't it? Any organism, the growth itself is possible because of the life, isn't it? And the growth implies so many functions happening there. There must be inhalation, there must be exhalation, there must be breathing, there must be food intake, there must be digestion, and there must be absorption of food, and there must be reproduction, there must be excretion. All these functions also must be happening. And all these functions are happening means every function implies an order being involved in the function. Isn't it? Every function implies an order being there. You have to remember this very important lesson. Don't take it seriously. You can't understand Ishvara as an order otherwise. Such a beautiful and very important lesson. People don't really pay attention to these things. Simply consciousness, consciousness. You can't understand what consciousness is unless you understand how this manifest knowledge. What is this manifest knowledge? And though the order is involved, and order is involved means order cannot be if it is not backed by knowledge. Order is impossible if an order is not backed by knowledge. And without the order, there cannot be any function. And without the function, you cannot see the growth, life there. So life implies functions. Functions imply the order behind the functions. And order implies knowledge backing the knowledge being there. And that knowledge behind the order involved in every function in any life form is nothing but manifestation of pure knowledge. The pure knowledge consciousness alone is there as the manifest knowledge. You cannot see the knowledge through physical eyes, but you can understand the knowledge being manifest. Because without being taught, any creature lives its life. A bird lives its bird's life without taking any tuitions from any teacher. A bird knows how to feed its offsprings, how to lay eggs, how to protect its eggs, where should lay its eggs, how to build its nest, how to collect the material for it to building its nest, and where shall build the nest? A bird knows. To bird has a bird is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its bird's life. A tiniest ant is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its ant's life. Ant need not live like a human being, a lion or an elephant. Ant has its own life, isn't it? And ant lives its life, ant's life. And for that to live ant's life, ant is blessed with adequate knowledge. Ant knows exactly wherever sugar granules are, okay? And it can line up. It will not even go. Tells all its whole companion, all the battalion, and they all can line up and go and collect. And how it enters into the tightly closed dabba also we do not know. How it enters and surveys means, who teaches? Who teaches? You have our thieves are trained maybe sometimes. Our thieves are trained when they go and loot. But these ants are not taught by anybody. Every ant is blessed with a tiniest worm. Really amazing. We have to think. We never think this way. Every living creature, a tiniest creature is blessed with adequate knowledge. Not lot of knowledge. Adequate knowledge to live its life. Every being. In the same way, you don't need to see the life complete living being as an ant or a mosquito or a butterfly or a worm or an elephant. You can take your own physical body. Every small organ is a manifesting medium for knowledge. Okay? For consciousness is manifest, is there as the available for understanding as the manifest knowledge in your heart, the function of your heart, the function of your lungs, function of your kidneys, the function of, you know, the gallbladder, and then every small organ in your body functions, means there is no functions. That is why every small thing, everything, every function implies what? Order being there. And order being there is backed by knowledge. And without being taught by anybody, heart does its job of circulating the blood, pumping. Without being taught, the kidneys contract and expand. They can push out all the rubbish. Similarly, your own digestive system knows how to do its job. Everything is involved in a given function, and every function is within the realm of an order. And that order is backed by knowledge. Who teaches the heart separately? Instructs. There is no instructor there. Isn't it? There is no instructor to do everything. For every organ is not instructed by whom? Self-instructive, isn't it? That means self-instructive means what? There must be knowledge, inbuilt knowledge. That knowledge behind the order involved in every function is nothing but manifest knowledge. That manifestation of consciousness, the reality, the pure knowledge alone is there as manifest knowledge. But that manifest knowledge, you can understand the knowledge being pure consciousness being there as manifest knowledge, but you cannot understand what that pure consciousness is. So the non-living thing, it is not at all available for recognition. In a living being, it is available for recognition as the manifest knowledge. You can't understand even the manifest knowledge. But that manifestation of knowledge differs. The level of manifestation differs in keeping with the difference in manifesting media. That way, the physical, human physical body also, manifesting medium for consciousness, like any other living being, like a plant or like a worm or like an elephant, like any other animal, human body also is a manifesting medium for, even the human subtle body also is available like any other living being. But very special, what is special about this is, you know, human mind. In a way, only in human mind, even though human mind also is the material product, and being completely a product of sattvic aspect of elements, the subtlest of the material manifestations, and the subtlest of the material products, and most sophisticated product that is capable of being the medium for manifestation of consciousness, and the consciousness is manifest as the knowledge I am only in the mind. And consciousness is manifest as the knowledge that the universe is. This is half knowledge. Where the knowledge I am, the knowledge universe is. This is half manifestation of consciousness. And this half knowledge becomes total knowledge is naturally, consciousness is manifest as I am, the knowledge I am and the universe is, which is naturally there in a human mind without any effort. But human mind has to make some effort to make this knowledge total by making effort now, by knowing what this I am is, what this I is, and what this universe is. When that knowledge also is there, the knowledge becomes total. The total manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge becomes totally manifest when there is the pure consciousness is totally manifest. When there is knowledge, I am, the universe is, becomes I am consciousness, the universe is consciousness. But that all has to rise. Therefore we say it's a human mind, but first of all, we have to recognize that. What is recognition? What is that which is manifest as I am? What is that which is manifest as the universe is? That is manifest knowledge. And that knowledge is, when that knowledge is, consciousness is, what no, available for transaction. Not directly, as manifest knowledge. Pure consciousness is never available for transaction. Pure consciousness, as manifest knowledge, I am, the universe is, available for transaction. But the knowledge is manifest only when there is manifesting medium, the mind. When the mind manifesting medium resolves, what happens to manifestation? Manifestation goes, the source of manifestation, isn't it? Original consciousness also go? No. Pure consciousness continues to be there in the presence of mind with its manifest knowledge, reflected knowledge. In the absence of mind, without its reflection, without its manifestation, it's always there. Okay, therefore, that it is the consciousness is available for recognition only as the very substance of the substantive I, as the very existence, the essence of the knowledge I am, as a source of the manifest knowledge I am. If I am is the manifest knowledge, what is the source of that manifestation? It's a pure consciousness. Where there is manifestation, there alone the source has to be searched. Is it clear? That is where it says, buddhau yeva avabhaseta. You can understand, in deep sleep state, pure consciousness is as pure consciousness. But it is not available for transaction. Therefore, you may think it is as good as non-existent, nothing is there. No. Never ever say, isn't it? Nothing is there, you say. That's why Shunyavadis we have. Because not available for transaction. Why? It is not manifest. Why it is not manifest in deep sleep state? How do you say the consciousness is not manifest in deep sleep state? Consciousness is as good as unmanifest in deep sleep state. Why? Because there is no knowledge, I am. There is no knowledge, the universe is. Why? Because the vrittis, all the thoughts, the mind is non-functional. Because all the thoughts are resolved. Mind is resolved. The mind, the reflecting medium is not there. Deep sleep state is the state of mind wherein all the vrittis, thoughts are resolved. The mind is resolved. When you reflect, therefore the mind being resolved, mind is not available for, isn't it? The vrittis are, the aham vritti, idam vritti. The thoughts are resolved. Every thought being manifesting medium, thoughts being not there. Reflections is not there. Therefore, there is no manifestation. There is no manifestation means, how do you know? In deep sleep state, there is no knowledge I am. There is no knowledge the universe is. When the knowledge is not, why it is not manifest? Because there is no manifesting medium. What happened? It is resolved. But what is there then? The source of manifest knowledge, the consciousness continues to be there. Understand? Therefore, what he says, the consciousness is available for recognition only in your mind. But that consciousness, the reality, the Atma, buddho eva avabhaseta swacheshu. Therefore, when the person in waking state also, when the mind becomes pure and steady, then one can recognize what now? The knowledge I am, when you understand what I am, when the knowledge is, then what this universe is also becomes clear. When you know what I am, then you will know what this universe is. Then you see, you unrecognize consciousness there. For which the mind manifesting medium must be pure and steady. So he says, buddho eva avabhaseta. It's an old lesson. Hope you got it. Is it clear what I said? Hope I see the importance of what I'm saying today. Hope you all remember this. You get it. Now, so, it's all repetition for making it very, very clear. What's next verse, Pritishi? Okay. Now again, even though consciousness is there, indwells, consciousness is there as the truth of everything, but consciousness is what distinct from these material products. That is consciousness being distinct. Consciousness is not distant, but distinct. Consciousness is distinct, though not distant. That is said in this verse, 18th verse again. देहेन्द्रिय मनो बुद्धि प्रभृतिभ्यो विलक्षणम् तद्वृत्तिसाक्षिणम् विद्यात् आत्मानं राजवत्सदा So he said, the pure consciousness, the Atma, the substance of the substantive I, the substance of the substantive universe, which is there as the substance of the substantive I, pervades everything, therefore pervades individual physical body. Not only the physical body, it pervades the subtle body, it pervades all the sense powers, pervades all the powers of organs of actions, it pervades all the physiological functions, it pervades every thought, it pervades the entire mind, it pervades the whole, even the very original matter also. It pervades the original matter, it pervades the manifest, isn't it? Modified form of the matter also. Like how H2O pervades the stillness and H2O pervades the ripples and waves. There is no stillness independent of H2O. There is no ripples and waves without the H2O. Similarly, the consciousness pervades the subtlest original matter, and consciousness pervades the universe, every being here, the modified form of matter. And there is no distance between the H2O and the stillness, there is no distance between H2O and the waves and ripples, so also there is no distance between consciousness and the mind, there is no distance between consciousness and the subtle body, the sense powers, powers of organs of actions, etc. There is no distance between consciousness and the physical body. And the same consciousness pervades the entire body, mind and complex. And it pervades, it enlivens the physical body, mind and complex, energizes the body, mind and complex. It lends life, consciousness, sentiency to the inert body, mind and complex. At the same time, it is not limited by, it is independent of the body, mind and complex. And it is not limited by the boundaries of body, mind and complex. Distinct, you have to remember this, distinct, different, it pervades, it's independent, it energizes, enlivens, at the same time, not limited by the boundaries of body, mind and complex. That's what he says here. And that consciousness is like what now? Is not involved in any of the functions of the body, mind and complex, nor the actions of the body, mind and complex. Then he says here, Deha, Indriya, Mana, Buddhi, Prabhrutibhyaha, Vilakshanam. Vilakshanam means what now? Distinct. Like how H2O is distinct from the form and name, wave and the ocean. Gold is distinct from the name and form, ornament. Distinct. Distinct. So here also, we say, Vilakshanam, Atma, the consciousness, the self, the consciousness, is distinct from Deha, physical body, Indriyani, the senses, the sense powers, and powers of organs of actions also, Manaha, the mind, your ignorance. Consciousness is distinct from ignorance, delusion, confusion, fear, desire, anger, pain, distinct from all of them, all thoughts the manaha. Buddhihi also, consciousness is distinct from even buddhihi. What is this buddhi? The knowledge I am, the knowledge the universe is. It's like how original face is distinct from the reflection and the reflecting medium. Isn't it? Similarly, here pure consciousness is distinct from the knowledge I am, the knowledge the universe is, any knowledge of anything in the world, understanding, perception, cognition, cheerfulness, with all these thoughts, consciousness is distinct from all these varieties of thoughts. Not only buddhi, he says, prabhruti bhyaha. Buddhi, prabhruti means etc. In Tamil we say mudaliyavaihal. Okay? Prabhruti bhyaha means from etc. From all these subtle forms, the subtle aspects which constitute the sukshma shariram and the gross body also, from all of them, vilakshanam, distinct. It means what? Consciousness is not any of the thoughts. Atma, the consciousness, is not the knowledge I am, is not the knowledge the universe is, not the desire, not the ignorance, not knowledge, not jealousy, not hatred, not anger, not any of the thoughts. Not any of these thoughts.
Prabhruti? No.
Prabhruti bhyaha. Prabhruti. Prabhruti means etc.
Prabhruti.
Yeah. Prabhruti he means etc. In Tamil, mudaliyavaihal, we say, no? Mudaliyavaihalin irindu, solrakku prabhruti bhyaha. From, see, prabhruti bhyaha, the panchami of prabhruti. From. So, consciousness is distinct from mind, etc. Mind, intellect, etc. What etc.? I mean, yesterday, almost everything, only ego he left. So, I've included that also, isn't it? So, consciousness is distinct from, you have to see every thought which rises in the mind. The whole antahkaranam, manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, isn't it? The knowledge I am, and thereafter the memory, everything, every vritti, consciousness is not any of the thoughts. Consciousness is not the sense powers. Consciousness is not the powers of organs of actions. Consciousness is not the physiological functions. Consciousness is not the physical body. Without consciousness, none of these can exist. None of this is possible. But consciousness is not any of these things. That's why prabhruti bhyaha vilakshanam. Deha indriya mana buddhi prabhruti bhyaha vilakshanam. Okay, if it is distinct, what is it, what the consciousness is then? He says, tadu vritti sakshinam atmanam vidyat. Vritti sakshinam atmanam vidyat. That consciousness is, may one know that consciousness to be the self which is the witness of the thoughts. That which is there as the witness of the thoughts. Vritti means, vrittihi means a thought modification. And vritti sakshi means the witness of the constantly changing thoughts. And sakshinam is an objective of sakshin, sakshi. Sakshinam vidyatmi. Vidyat means may one know, may one understand that consciousness, art being, the self, the witness of one's own thoughts. In Kena Upanishad, which is said, Pratibodha Viditam Matam, which we have not come across in that Upanishad class. It's a beautiful thing, because Bodha, you can just leave everything else. Take your own mind. Just take the mind alone. And see, mind mind is what? Mind is nothing but three different states of experience. Mind, the waking state is a state of mind, one state of mind. Dream is another state of mind. And deep sleep state is another state of mind. Isn't it? There's no fourth state of experience. There are only three states of experience. Well analyzed, well thought of. There are only three states of experience. There's no fourth state of experience. And each state of experience is each state of manifest knowledge. Understand? Experience is manifest knowledge. Okay? That is why any experience is manifestation of knowledge. That is why we can say consciousness is never available for experience. Why? How can the source of manifestation of knowledge be an object of knowledge? That's why consciousness can never be an object of experience, because it is the very source of experience. Experience of anything in the world is what? Manifestation of consciousness only. Therefore, what is mind now? Every state of experience is a mind. And the presence of one state of experience, the other state of experience is not. Every state of experience is exclusive of other two states of experience. One cannot keep awake and dream. One cannot, isn't it? One cannot be asleep dreaming. Okay, if you are asleep, means there is no dream, there is no waking. If anybody says, and that means that person does not sleep at all, that is another problem. Isn't it? He needs to be on sedatives. Every state of experience is what exclusive of other two states of experience. But in each state of experience, there must be the experiencer. Because without the experiencer, no experience is possible. Let us not worry about what is experienced. Okay? The object of experience, let us not worry about. We'll think only of the experience. There is an experience. Waking state is an experience, which is a state of mind. Dream is a state of experience, which is another condition of the mind. And deep sleep state is also another state of experience, which is a condition of the mind. And all of them are mutually exclusive. And all of them are, no state of experience is continuous. Every state of experience is discontinuous. Therefore, mutually exclusive. So, but there's an experiencer in each state of experience. Without the presence of experiencer, experience is not possible, and that experiencer is continuously present in all the discontinuous, mutually exclusive experience, states of experience. And in waking also, there is what? No, not one thought. One thought, isn't it? Vrittihi means thought modification, which rises, which is, which goes, which rises, which is, which goes. No knowledge of any object, cognition of any object, perception of any object, which rises, which is, which goes. If it doesn't, it has to go. Suppose the knowledge of a given object does not go, what will happen? You will be stuck with one thing. Isn't it? You are seeing so many things continuously. Your cognitions of various objects rise. And all those cognitions rise, remain and go. Rise, remain and go. That means all these vrittis change. In this way, in every, all these invariable thoughts, what is invariably present, even in waking state, isn't it? Is the experiencer. In every state of experience, that mutually exclusive, discontinuous, the states of experience also, of the mind, also what is continuously present is, what now, this experiencer. The experiencer is one and the same, and that experiencer is none other than consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, without the experience, there is no distance between the experiencer and the experience. There is no distance. Like how there is no distance between the illuminator light and the illumined opaque. There is no distance between illumination and the illuminator. Similarly, there is no distance between the experience and the experiencer, but experiencer is distinct from the experience. Okay? The experiencer is none other than consciousness. Like how when you say there is illumination, opaque objects shine because there is illumination. Illumination is because there is illuminator. And the illuminator is none other than the light. When you say illuminator is light, you are resolving the illuminator status in the very light. Really speaking, light is not the illuminator, but light gets the qualification illuminator from the standpoint of the illumination, isn't it, of the objects, opaque things. Similarly, consciousness is not the experiencer, consciousness is not the knower, but there is no knower, experiencer, other than consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, experiencer is consciousness. When you say you are resolving the status, the experiencer status in consciousness, you are stumbling upon, you arrive at the consciousness. You are not objectifying it. When you say experiencer is consciousness, are you objectifying consciousness? Please think. No. You are claiming consciousness being the very self. When I say experiencer is consciousness, you are claiming consciousness as the self. You are not objectifying the consciousness. Because there is no experiencer. You have done this individual postmortem, postmortem of the individual. You peel off the onion. You peel and peel and peel, okay? Like that you peel off here. Your postmortem, it's a different type of postmortem, isn't it? And you have done what is this individual, you have cut at everything, and you have seen, and you consciousness, what is this I there? Where is I sitting here? Where is I? Isn't it? It's like you look for some disease, cancerous disease, and, you know, operate and see. Nothing you find. Suppose you look for this, search for I. What is I? Okay? Experiencer. I am the experiencer. And what is that experiencer? What is the experiencer? Consciousness. Is consciousness the experiencer? No. Why? Consciousness is not the experiencer. Because it is not an action. Experiencing is not an action. Like how this example I had told you 1,008 times. But I am repeating it today. Illumination, illumining is not an action. Will involved action on the part of the light. Illumining is its very nature. Light is opaque, becomes illumined. There is illumination. And illumining is the very nature, swarupam of the light. Therefore, even though you say illuminator is the light, only from the standpoint of the illumination of the objects you can, opaque things you can say, illuminator is light. But really speaking, light is the illuminator, you can never say, because illumining is not an action, it is the very nature. If it is an action, then if it's a will-involved action, then you can say, illuminator is the light. Light is the illuminator. Not an action. Similarly, experiencing is an, if it is an action, knowing is an action, being aware is an action on the part of consciousness, awareness, then you can say, experience, awareness is the experiencer. Consciousness is the experiencer. But being aware, being conscious is not the action on the part of the reality, the consciousness. That's the very nature. Therefore, experiencing is not an action. That's the very nature. Therefore, you say what now? The experiencer consciousness, only the qualification from the standpoint of the experience. Really speaking, pure experiencer is consciousness, but consciousness is distinct, not even the experiencer. Okay, search for the experiencer, arrive at the consciousness, then resolve the experiencer in consciousness, then claim consciousness as the self, Atma. Okay? That with, therefore, the consciousness is what now? Vritti Sakshi. Vidyat. Atmanam Vritti Sakshinam Vidyat. May one know, understand the Atma being there as the witness of unchanging, invariably present witness of all the variable thoughts, variable states of experience. Isn't it? Sakshi. When she says Sakshi means what? Not involved in anything. The witness is not involved in any of the activities or the functions. Therefore, without consciousness, no function is possible, no action is possible, no life is possible. But consciousness itself has no action, no function. It is what? It is of the nature of actionlessness. It's like without the light, no play a drama can be enjoyed. No actors, movements, no actions, nothing can be there. Crying and weeping and laughing and smiling and hugging and then nothing can be enjoyed. All the actions of the actors and actresses of the play are taking place in the presence of the light. But without light, nothing will be possible. Nothing can be appreciated really. But light by itself is of the nature of actionlessness, motionlessness. The same way, consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. But without consciousness, no action is possible. That means, like the witness, Sakshi, means not involved in the function of seeing. Without Sakshi, witnessing, with consciousness is like the witness of what? No, the seeing, hearing of the ears, seeing of the eyes, smelling of the nose, tasting of the tongue, feeling of the skin, and all the physiological functions, and functions of even all the organs of actions, the whole physical body, consciousness is the witness. But consciousness is not involved in any of these actions. Therefore, distinct. Not distant, but distinct. Witness of everything, but not involved in anything. Therefore, Sakshinam Atmanam Vidyat. May one understand his consciousness being distinct from all those, is it? Body, mind, and complex, and their functions also, activities also. Atmanam Vritti Sakshinam Vidyat. And how like what? He gives a beautiful example here. Rajavat Sada. Always like the king. The king is the king only when he does not open his mouth, does not even move his lips to instruct anything. The king just walks in. The ministers should understand what the king expects, how things should be. Instructing king is a useless king. The presence of the king, just the king sees, looks at the minister. Minister understands the heart of the king, does what the king expects the king to do. That is the king. Rajavat Sada. That's how he is supposed to be. Okay. Not people going and giving petitions for the chief prime minister and chief minister to do that and this. The king should not be instructed. King should never be instructed by anybody. Nor should the king instruct anybody. King is the one whose just mere presence becomes an instruction. Mere presence becomes an instruction, isn't it? Rajavat Sada. Like that. The consciousness, what now? It's a beautiful example, isn't it? It's all typical Indian kings of those days. I don't know how the kings in this country, other countries would have been. But I said history, Indian history. I don't know how other kings would have been. In India, king means like that. He doesn't speak. See, it's enough. No movement of lips also. That is the king. So Rajavat, so that's why shines. One who shines is Raja, king. Rajate iti Raja. Like just as the king, the chief of the entire humanity, king means what? Like that, the foremost, the only, the very existence, reality of the whole consciousness does not do anything, does not instruct anything, but its mere presence, in its mere presence of consciousness, everything acts, everything functions, everything happens. Everything becomes sustained, everything resolves, everything becomes manifest, everything becomes unmanifest, everything remains, continuously it happens. And consciousness is what now? Only like the witness. May one know, understand, the our consciousness is like the witness. Okay? May one know that consciousness, which is like the witness, to be the self, which is not distant, far from anything, which is inseparably one with everything, but it is distinct from everything. Is it clear? I'm not repeating, Shankaracharya is repeating this. So don't tell me this, okay? Tad vritti sakshinam vidyat atmanam rajavat sada. Isn't it beautiful to know this? Repetition, isn't it? Good. Now what does it mean to say being a sakshi, being the witness, enjoying the status of being the witness means what? Sakshitvam. Now this definition is given in this book. Akartritve sati bodhritvam sakshitvam. Without enjoying the status of being the doer, without having the status of being the doer, just enjoying the status of being the knower is said to be enjoying the status of being the witness. Okay? I don't want to say too much. You understood very well. Akartritve sati bodhritvam sakshitvam. Too much of Sanskrit, so let me tell you. I told you one thing. Okay. Vyapru. Therefore, this is how Atma is distinct. Now he's going, continuing with this.
Vyapruteshvindriyeshvatma
vyapariva
vivekinam
drishyate
breshu
dhavatsu Dhavan nivayatha shashi. Vyaprute shvindriye shvatma.
Vyaprute shvindriye shvatma.
Vyapareva vivekinam.
Vyapareva vivekinam.
Drishyate breshu davatsu.
Drishyate breshu davatsu.
Dhavan nivayatha shashi. See, abhram means cloud. Okay. Abreshu dhavatsu. The Sati Saptami. When? It's time? Okay. See, when this abhram means a cloud. Abreshu dhavatsu. When these clouds move, sometimes the clouds seem to be running very fast, moving very fast. The fast movement of the clouds is said to be what? Running. Okay. When the clouds are running or moving very fast, dhavatsu abhreshu. Suppose there is a moon, a full moon day, and there's also a moon, bright moon, sometimes it looks as the moon is running. Isn't it? Abreshu dhavatsu. Shashi means moon. The Shashi, the Chandraha, the moon. What now? Davan iva drishyate. The moon is seen to be running. When the clouds are moving fast. Davan iva, that means what? Moon does not really dhavati. The moon does not run really, but moon seems to be running. Moon looks as though it is running. Davan iva. Iva means what? As though. The moon looks as though it is running. The moon is moving. It is why we all know very well, moon does not move an inch. Moon does not move a little, is it? But moon doesn't move at all. But now moon seems to be moving very fast. Why? It is because of the fast movement of the clouds in the sky. Because why? The moon is very far from the clouds, then we will not take it. The moons and the clouds are very close from our standpoint, okay? In our view, moon, even though there's no distance, different thing, okay? In our perception, the moon and the clouds are very close. Both are above. The moon is somewhere here, why should it happen? Very close. And when the clouds move, and the moon seems to be moving. In the same way, what he says, Vyapruteshu indriyeshu vyapruteshu. Indriyam is a sense organ, any organ of knowledge and organ of action. All the ten organs. Organs of knowledge and organs of actions, when they are functional, when they are active. When they are non-functional, inactive, then there's no problem, isn't it? When they're non-functional, inactive, when in deep sleep state, they're all these ten are inactive, non-functional, because all the powers are resolved. They remain resolved for a short while. Why? Because the mind itself is resolved. If the mind is non-functional, sense powers and powers of organs of actions cannot function independently. Because they need the activation, they need the existence, they need the consciousness and sentiency for them to become active and functional. When the vrittis are resolved in deep sleep state, vrittis being not all pervasive, then the sense powers and the powers of organs of actions become resolved, they are non-functional. When they are non-functional, mind and sense organ, when the ten are non-functional means mind also is non-functional, isn't it? All the 11 are non-functional. They are instruments of, when they are active, the whole physical gross body is active. When is the gross body active? Gross body is active only when the 10 powers are functional. The 10 powers are functional only when the mind is functional. What is deep sleep state? Deep sleep state is a state when the mind is non-functional, inactive, thereby all the 10 powers of organs of actions and powers of sense organs, all of them are non-functional, then the physical body also is inactive and as good as dead. Not dead, okay? As good as dead. When what do you think? There is no Atma. Suppose it is functional, what do we think? When all of them are functional, then you think what? I am active. Sense organs are active, I am active. Functions of organs of actions are active, sorry, if organs of functions, actions are active, then I am active. Mind is active, I am active. When the mind is inactive, isn't it? I am not there. I'm not even there. This is all what now. So, this is called Vyapruteshu Indriyeshu. Vyaprita means being very busy. Vyaprita means what now? Busy. When these sense organs, all these organs are very busy, very active, functional, Vyapritam means actively involved, is it? Vyapruteshu. When they're all functional and active, then what happens? They are functional. We mistake Atma Vyapari Iva. Atma is as though active. Is Atma active? No. Atma is as though non-existent when all of them are inactive, non-functional. And Atma is as though active when all of them are functional. For whom? Avivekinam. For those who are indiscriminate people. Who are the indiscriminate people? Who do not have the who are not able to discern and distinctly know Atma, discern the Atma from the Anatma, the body, mind and complex. Who are the people who are not able to discern the Atma from Anatma? Who are ignorant of Atma? Isn't it? Therefore, Avivekinam, Ajnaninam, for those who are ignorant of the self, thereby who are, all of us, okay, ignorant of the self, thereby those who are not, those who are indiscriminate, okay, those who do not have the discriminative knowledge of the self being distinct from the non-self, for such people, when all these 11, important 11, okay, the pranas are functional all the time. The pranas become non-functional only when non-functional, then only for cremation. Book the crematorium for cremation. That's a different thing. But when the pranas function, but what happens, these 11 mind powers of organs of actions and sense organs, these 11 are called gauna pranaha. Okay? These 11 are non-functional inactive. We think I am not there. Isn't it? When we mistake the cell Atma for non-existent, when these are functional, we mistake Atma is very active. Atma is as though active. Atma is as though non-existent. For the indiscriminate people. For Vivekinam, for wise people, Atma is always, Atma never is Atma non-existent. Atma is the only existent substance, only existence of as though existent names and forms. Isn't it? Ever existent, ever present, eternally, all pervasive, everywhere, it's ever present, but Atma is not always manifest. Atma is always present. When these instruments of manifestation are there, then Atma is manifest. Instruments of manifestation are not there, the Atma is not manifest. Unmanifest, isn't it? Atma is there as pure consciousness or as manifest knowledge, the consciousness. Atma is always there. But without being involved in any of these activities or functions, whether the sense organs are functional or non-functional, Atma is witnessing the mind being functional, with witnessing the mind being asleep, with witnessing the mind being in dream, witnessing the mind being active, witnessing the mind being inactive, witnessing the sense organs being functional, witnessing the sense organs being non-functional, that which is there always without being involved in any of the functions, Atma is as akarta. Okay, Atma is always there. Atma is not involved in any of the functions. The functions are in waking place. All the powers of organs of actions are active. Sense powers are active. Perceptions take place. Actions are happening. Body is active. Mind is active. Atma is as a witness. Experiencer. All of them are resolved. There is no function. Still Atma is there witnessing the, is it, passive mind, passive sense organs, non-functional senses. That is why on waking up from sleep, you are able to recollect your experience. I did not know I was, I did not know the universe was, I did not know anything, no pain or pleasure, I did not see anything, did not hear anything, I did not do anything. That means what? All these sense powers are resolved, all the powers are factions, organs of actions are resolved, the whole mind is resolved, but you are. That means what? You are as the witness, witnessing the all these 11 organs being active and witnessing the organs being active also. When they are active, you are there as the witness, experiencing them. You are there as a witness when they are non-functional also. That means what? Witness is the one who knows what is happening but who is not involved in actions. That knowing also is not an action, is the very swarupam. Is it clear now? Therefore, but we say what? We think Atma is active. Atma is the, what now? Atma is active. Atma is the one who is involved in actions. Vyapari means Atma is business person, busy person. Atma is never busy. Okay? Anyone, any of the business? Not a vyapari. Is it clear? Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.